worthy is the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Jesus, Son, through the Holy Spirit, who is surely present with us. Our pastor, Reverend Dr. Harold Spencer Stinger, and his absent, our first lady, only lady, Sister Stinger. Amen. Gotcha. The officials here, our deacon as trustees, and the likes, all the choir, musicians. Amen. They set it up nice, didn't they?
Yeah.
Amen. To our young people, amen. I love seeing our young people. They're sitting on
Hallelujah.
This side.
Hallelujah.
They didn't do what I told them and take over the deacon seat just to see what happened. But that's all good. Amen. Amen. And they have wonderful hearts. Amen.
Amen.
I wish I could share. I have to share a story a little bit later on. But to my lovely wife, Sheila, 27, going on 28 years.
Bless
amen.
Bless.
We are empty nesters.
Amen.
Y'all gonna say amen.
Amen.
Each of you God's children is so good to be in your midst on today to hear a word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 43, 18th verse. Mm-hmm. I'll read from the King James Version. The verse says, "Remember ye not the former thing, mm-hmm. neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing.
Yes, sir.
Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Mm-hmm. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owl, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert mm-hmm. to give drink to my people, my chosen. Mm-hmm. This people have I formed for myself. Mm-hmm. They shall show forth my praise."
Amen.
Let me do that. King James, the new NIV version says, "Forget not the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing the new thing. Mm-hmm. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and stream in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owl, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise."
Amen.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we want to just tell you thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for being God and God all by yourself.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we know your word has already been ordained to do what you said. And you said you would send forth word to the earth, but not return to you void. As you send us your word, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Lord, hide me, Lord, so deep within the crevices of your cross or behind it, to none of me is seen, but only you and you get the glory. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you to the King. Amen.
Yes, sir.
See, my brother be playing with that music. I told him to stop playing like that.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, do it. Yeah. I called him out today, my bad. I wrestle oftentimes with topics for these passages because to get a topic sometimes narrows the focus a little bit too much. But I'm going to try today to talk about the prerequisite for our faith. But the subject is forget and focus. Forget and focus. Tell your neighbors, a neighbor. Forget it. Now focus. Tell your neighbors, a neighbor. Forget it. Now focus. Amen. Amen. If you do that, you'll be all right. Forget and focus.
Yes.
We often try to get you to praise. So what we do, we'll bring the choir and we'll bring the cheerleaders, that'd be us. We try to motivate you and inspire you to praise. We'll tell you to just clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah.
We'll tell you to stand up. We'll tell you to say amen, all in an effort to get you to pray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I find it interesting that in the passage here this morning, Isaiah is making it very clear that the Lord said, the people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise.
Yeah.
I mean, it's automatic. The songwriter tried to paint a picture and said that, well, now praise is what I do.
Yeah.
And then he thought about it a little bit longer and said, the reality of it is, no, it's not what I do, it's who I am. So when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul, Isaiah this morning finds it a little bit more challenging because oftentimes I believe he saw that we sometimes get too caught up in what he's done
mm-hmm.
and and not in what he's doing.
Come on, preacher.
So this morning, he tells us to forget and to focus.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the past,
yeah,
the former things, and the old things.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on the present, what I am doing, this new thing, and the fact that I am making a way. We'll talk about that, all right? First, let's start with what he says. Forget the past. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. There are two things in the past that God wants us to forget.
Mm-hmm.
The former things and the things of old.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you asked. God wants us to forget the former things. Those are the things that more recently happened.
Uh-huh.
You know, like yesterday.
Yeah.
The day before yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Last week. And then also he wants us to forget the old things.
Yeah.
Those things that happened a long, long time. Because a lot of that may appear. Some of us still hung up on then.
Come on. Tell
me. Or maybe I should say when.
Yes, sir.
When I was your age. When I grew up.
Yeah.
When we used to do it this way. He wants us to forget the former things and the things of old. See, Israel had an interesting view. For the former things were things that had happened in their return from Babylon. The things of old was the events of their ancient delivery from Egypt, their crossing the Red Sea, and their entry into Canaan. But God wants them to forget those things. Well, now that's kind of odd, because all of those things God had a hand in.
Mm-hmm.
But God is saying, look here, I want you to forget those things, because I'm about to do something so wonderful on your behalf right now. The past is going to look pale. It's going to pale by comparison.
Yeah.
And see, problem is, if you're so caught up in looking at the past, you're going to miss what I'm doing right now.
Yes, sir.
See, some of us can't see God moving now because we're so busy.
Come on.
I'm looking at some of y'all eyes from last night. You can't get to it today because you're struggling from it. I might as well say amen. Y'all say amen if ain't you just as point fingers at the rest of us. The past is gone. It's history. It's out there. I know George Washington was right when he said that we cannot, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. But the reality is the past is just a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the past can direct us away from trouble, around the wall that we keep bumping into, that teaches us that fire is hot and we're born, water is wet and we're drowned, the friends are there in times of trouble, and enemies look like friends during good times, but you know they call frenemies, but the true friends will be there through thick and thin.
Yeah.
The enemy will stand out when it gets thick. You know how to react. The past can teach us these realities. However, we got to understand that we got to let go of the past.
Yeah.
Too many of us can't get past the past.
Right.
Too many of us let the past cripple our future. Allow the past to bind us on what's going on, to blind us from what's going on right now, right in front of our eyes. We are so focused on the past that we miss what's happening right now in our midst.
Come on.
I serve a God.
Yes, sir.
Who is a God of the past, present, and the future.
Mm-hmm.
I heard your biblical stories of what he did for Moses,
yeah,
but if he did it for Moses,
come on, tell it.
Right. Y'all, I don't mind y'all preaching with me.
Come on.
He'll do it for me.
Yeah.
There are two reasons why people remember the past. They're the same two reasons why people should forget the past. Number one, because the past was good. Somebody say, good. The second reason is because the past was bad. Can we talk about it for a minute?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the good. Philly Peter Dunn said it best. He said, the past is always better than it was. It's only pleasant because it's past. Some of us don't. We call the good old days good old days. I remember what they called good old days. They were not good old days.
All right.
I've worked in the cotton field. And I know we sang the song back of old, but I'm going to tell you what. Them were not good old days. You ever seen a country mile? I think it's different from a city mile. You ever seen a mile in the country? It's a different mile than the highway. I drive the highway. I finish a mile on the highway a whole lot faster than I do in the country. I'm just saying. So sometimes we look back and we celebrate things that we really didn't celebrate while we were going through them. But after it's over, then it's like we remember. You trying to make me do stuff you didn't even want to do when you were growing up. You trying to make our young people do things that you didn't even like to do. Now you acting like your parents. Good old days. It doesn't doesn't matter how great yesterday was, if we stop moving forward, we're going to be going backwards. And backward is not the way God wants his people to go. God wants us to move in the direction he told Israel to go, and that's forward. We must forget the ground we've covered in our race so that we can actually continue to race. We cannot waste time over the past bragging about our successes.
All right.
That was then. This is now.
Right.
Can you help me out, young people? You passed the first test. How will you do on midterm?
Mm-hmm.
You made a touchdown. That's great. The game is not over. What you going to do? You're not safe now. Round one, he's up for round two.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You played with fire. You just got out in time. You didn't get burned. And now what? You made a great hit. You made it to first base. Are you going on to second?
Mm-hmm.
You confessed, you believed, and stepped out on faith. Are you working and walking now by the same faith?
Come on. All right now.
It's good that your past was good. But good is not enough. You can't get to second base with one foot on first. Napoleon Hill, good is the enemy. Somebody wrote a book about it. They said, good is the enemy of great. So don't let your good past prevent your great present or future. Is that all right, young people? Let go of the goodness of the past. I know you got a degree. I know you went to school.
Come on, come
I know you did some great things then. But what are you doing now?
Come on, sir.
Celebrate your past. That's why I said forget the past. The goodness of the past. See, some of us remember we want to forget the bad. We need some of us need to forget the good because the good get in my way. We can't move forward because it was so good then. Really? Really? The second thing I need you to do, and I think all of us can relate to it, we need to forget the bad as well.
Mm-hmm.
More people are hung up on the bad. That's when, you know, things didn't go your way you wanted them to go. Your times were hard. That we should have thought twice before we spoke. Wish we could take it back now that we said it. We went down, got up on the wrong side of the bed, took action that we should not have taken, did things we should not have done, said things we should not have said. When our friend became our foe, when yes became no, and secret became public announcement, and you re-crucified Christ by allowing sin to rule. My mama said that we... days like this. Young people don't know what we're talking about, old folks. Let's go with it. There'll be days like this, mama said. Every now and then it's good to catch them in the fly. It doesn't matter how bad the old days were, they're past.
Mm-hmm.
Problems are created, exacerbated, elevated, escalated, promulgated, emulated, and duplicated when we allow the past to rule our present and control our future.
Yeah.
Yes, sin leaves a stain so deep and so dark that all temperature, cheer, tide, borax, chloride, 4-9, Lysol, Ajax, no ammonia will remove. A stain so emotionally and spiritually destructive that psychiatrists can't talk it out. Orthopedists can't walk it out. Psychologists can't think it out. Optometrists can't wink it out. Alcoholics can't drink it out. Water can't wash it out. And fire can't burn it out. A stain that only God can remove. But you ask me? What will God use? Will he use vinegar? No. Will he use shout? No. Will he use spray and wash? No. Will he use hairspray? No. Will he use grease? No. Nothing but the blood. Somebody said that was called to deal with blood drawn from Emmanuel vein. Sinners burn the knees of blood, lose all their guilt and sin. Let me bow myself out. 1 John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You might have a stain. It may have been bad, but I hear Isaiah said it one day. He said, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Only God can make you that clean. It doesn't matter what happened on yesterday. It doesn't matter how bad yesterday was or what you did on yesterday. That was then. Help me out. 1 Peter 4:8, he said, and above all things, have fervent charity one towards yourself, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. If it's not enough, if you don't believe that blood is enough, he said, well, love will cover it.
Yeah.
But think about this for a minute. Not only did Jesus shed his blood, but he shed his blood in love.
Yes, sir.
That ought to take care of you. Isn't that all right? So no matter what you've done, no matter how dark it was, we have a Savior that said, I take those sins that you committed, I'll put them in the depths of the sea. I know some of y'all swim, and if I put them in the sea and leave them there, some of y'all will go down there and get them and bring them back up in my... I know how you are. He said, but I tell you what I do. I put the sin behind me, and they'll never come up again. That's the kind of God that we serve. I know it was bad, but that was then. Forget all the stuff that happened then, long time ago, bad or good, and focus on your present. Jesus said in Luke, the 9th chapter, 6th, 2nd verse, he said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. You ever been in, y'all don't even know what that is, but I'm gonna explain to you, because I used to get behind this plow. You had that little mule. You get on that plow and you stick it in the ground, and you got to tell it. No, I better not go too far back. You got to hold it.
That's right.
And let it stay in line. Otherwise, you mess up a field. And he'll go straight, you know, if you go straight.
Uh-huh.
But you trying to look back. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something's going to happen that's going to mess up. So you can't go forward in this thing with God looking back on what happened
on
yesterday.
Come on.
You can't plow a straight line looking back. I know it was
then,
but that was then. Can you let go of the past, no matter how bad it was? Can you let it go for a good future? If I told you tomorrow was going to be better than yesterday, can you let it go?
Yeah.
If you don't let it go, tomorrow is going to be your yesterday.
Yeah.
Brother Paul said this way, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, Philippians 3 and 13, I forget those things that are behind. I reach forth to those things that are before. One thing, that's all we have. So forget the past. Good or bad, let it go. Let it go. God wants to do something. He is doing something, and we're missing it because of the past. I know they lied on you. I know they talked about you. I know they called you everything but a child of God. I want to join your pity party, but I can't. Because everything they did to you, they did it worse to the Savior. And if you're going to follow him, if he suffered, what makes you think you?
Come on.
Everybody want to be saved and only. You got saved because it's going to be easy. I got news for you. That's not what salvation is about. Salvation is not getting on the Lord's side so you can get from the Lord what he got for you. It's about getting on the Lord's side so you can get what he got for you to do for somebody else.
Come on.
Amen. You know, right? You know that great commandment, go ye, therefore, teach all nations. Yours is to do something, not to sit in and get something.
Amen.
I hope y'all heard me. It's the difference in a hotel and a hospital.
All right.
The last thing he said to us, he says, focus. Can we go? Focus. And in the 19th and 20th chapter, he said, 20th verse of this particular chapter, chapter 4, 3rd chapter, he said, behold, I will do a new thing.
Yeah.
Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragon and the owl, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. He said here, look here. Behold, I need your undivided attention.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to focus on the here and now.
Yeah.
I need you to get your attention not looking back to the past, but rather to the future. I need you to focus on what's going on right now. Why? Because God is working right now.
Right now.
See, some of us are so busy remembering the stories in the Bible about what God has done.
Come on, preacher.
We see him as a then God and not a right now God.
Yes, sir.
See, we remember how he healed those in the Bible, mm-hmm. how he raised the dead, but somebody said, he's not doing that right now.
Yeah.
Well, he woke you up this morning.
Yes,
he did.
Amen.
You were dead.
Yes, sir.
You didn't know what was going on.
Right.
But God did it.
Yes, sir.
You're expecting this miraculous healing, God. If all of a sudden I pop that leg loose and it fall all the way off, and then God reconnected, then
yes,
God's moving in my life.
Yeah.
I got to have the worst possible sickness to have to know, and then God healed me to know God moved. Well, now, is that true? Is that true?
No.
Can we just not serve God because he is God? And because he is really, if you focus and look, he's moving even right now.
Yeah.
You're breathing. I said, you breathing.
Hallelujah.
I don't know how you do you know how that happens? Do you think about it every time you do it? It's kind of out of your control, ain't it? You ever got choked on water? You ever been underwater and didn't know you were almost drowned? Okay, let me tell you a story about it. Let me tell you something. I used to think I could swim. And we were at a lake one day, and we were sending all those little kids out the lake in Louisiana, and we said, well, we're going to jump off in this lake. And good thing we didn't, you know, because we didn't do it, because, you know, I don't know what happened, we didn't do it, but I'm not. So we went to one day, the fella took us to a swimming pool, to where you probably want to learn how to swim. Took us in the water, and I know how to swim. That's what I said. Because I almost jumped in that lake, remember? And that lake, it didn't have a bottom on it. It just, when you jump in, you got to get it. You're going to have to get it, or it's going to get you. But he took me to the swimming pool, and I figured, you know, just like I saw it on TV, I went out there, and I stepped in, and I went. Right after that, everything went wrong. I was stroking and screaming. I was drowning. I was drowning. They were saying stuff like, stand up. I was drowning. They said, stand up. And I was just down. I was going under. I'm like, somebody get me. Oh, I was dying. Somebody stood me up. I was in 3 feet of water. Drowning. All I had to do was stand up. All I knew, turned out I did nothing. Young people, we cannot go forward looking back. We can't get to second base with one foot on first. You can't get to the eighth grade with what you did in the sixth grade.
Yes, sir.
You can't be all that you can be celebrating yesterday's accomplishment. You can't be the best you that you can be being the best you that you've been. And what you've got, what got you here, y'all heard this in business, will not keep you here.
Amen.
You can't get to heaven based on what you used to be. You got to focus right now. Get your attention on what God is doing right now, because God has a purpose for you in his plan.
Amen.
Did y'all hear what I say? In his plan, not your plan. See, the problem is we get so caught up in what we want to do, and we're focused on what we want to get done and not what God wants. We need to focus on God's plan. Colossians 3:1-2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, he said, seek those things above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. We got to get our plan aligned with God's plan by focusing on what God is doing in our lives and what God wants to do for us right now.
Yes.
Then it's good. Now it's important. We got to focus, right? In order to be successful, you got to focus on where you are and where you're going. More accidents happen because people are not focused. Y'all know this. In the cars now, they got where the phone at? They got flip phones. Oh, no, they don't have those anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. Some people still have them. More averages fail because people are not focused. More flags or average grade are made, young people, because they're not focused. More feelings are hurt because people are not focused.
Yeah.
More poor choices and words and actions are made because people are not focused. Success in life and whatever you do is about focus.
Yes,
let me bow myself out. Joshua 1:8 said, the book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth,
mm-hmm.
but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, and observe to do all that's written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's very simple. Meditate on it day and night.
Yes,
I told y'all a story. I went to Sheila one day with this new song I heard. I said, baby, I want to think about you on two occasions. That's day and night.
Yes,
she said, that's all?
I sang it and I realized I was talking about the extreme.
So I want to be clear, when we talk about day and night, we're talking about the extreme, full time. Is that all right?
Yes,
you got to meditate on his word all the time.
Yes,
and then you're going to have good success.
Mm-hmm.
Let me bow myself out. Psalm 1:3. He said, blessed is the man. I'm happy.
Yes, sir.
I thought I put it in there.
Blessed is the man. Every commercial has a song in it now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means blessed is happy. He's the man that walketh not in the counsel of godly, nor stand in the way of sin, nor sit in the seat of scorn. But his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate both day and night. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If you would but just meditate on him day and night. But you, I just had a thought. You know, but you know what our problem is? We meditate on everything else,
yes, sir.
But him.
Come on.
We get a problem, and before we get a solution, we are meditating on that problem. We make that problem so much bigger than it is. We done connected dots. We get a problem in our relationship. We done connected dots that have nothing to do with anything, not even the price of bacon.
No.
I don't know how that came in there, but it works. It's not hocus pocus. This is not magic. It's all about focus.
Yes, sir.
If you would but focus in, God can do great things in your life. Focus on what God is doing right now.
Yes, sir.
You can't get from here worrying about there.
Mm.
I know relationships that are broken up because of stuff that they even forgot what they were broken up about.
Mm.
But they know it was something, so they just got to hold on to it. I'm angry with, I don't know why I'm angry with you right now, but I'm just angry.
Huh.
It was something you did out some years ago. Maybe it wasn't that you did to me, maybe it's my family you did it to. But somebody told me I ought to be mad. So, man, I heard some stuff. And you know when you hear stuff, it's never the way it was actually took place. It's the way the person is telling you. You know, so you got to be careful what they tell you because it's not always what it is. And you mad about that. And why are you giving people control over you anyway by being mad?
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Did y'all hear me?
I heard.
In our text, Israel is called, they're implored to look forward rather than backwards. God had indeed been an awesome God in their lives. They had seen him and heard about him doing marvelous things. I mean, plagues and parting of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, fighting their battles, bringing down the walls of great cities, defeating giants. They had seen and heard about an awesome God. Yet, look at what God said. He said, forget that.
Yes, sir.
I am doing two things I need you to pay attention to right now that will cause you to see what I've already done as old news. Well, what you say, what two things are you doing? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, I am doing a new thing.
Yeah.
I don't want y'all to miss it. Yeah. I'm doing something that's unprecedented and is wonderful character. You might say it's the same message, but it's a different method and a different methodology or a different melody. I got something I got going on new, and I pondered with the Lord. I said, Lord, can you tell me what that new thing is so I can tell the church what it is so we all can get excited? Well, it's funny that he didn't mention what it was here. He just said, I'm doing a new thing. And as God spoke to my spirit, he said, it's not about what it was. I didn't say what it was because it's not about what it was or what it is. It's about you being receptive to change. I don't know if y'all heard what I said. I said, it's about you being receptive to change. God said, I'm doing something new, but you so hung up in the old that you can't get to where I want you to be. But I need you to be open to change and to go with the way I want you to go. Stop trying to define my path by your standards and follow me and do what I said. You can't get there unless you're open to change. I will do a new thing. I'm going to do something right now that's never occurred before. It far surpasses anything that I've formerly done. It's bigger than Israel's deliverance from Egypt and it passes through the Red Sea. It's bigger than their return from Babylon's captivity. You've got to be ready. Don't miss it. Did y'all hear me? Now, I want you to understand that God is doing that new thing right now.
Right now.
Now, here I ask the young people on Thursday night, I said, God's doing a new thing in your life. Do you know what it is? Can I ask you a question? Do you know what it is? Do you know what God is doing new in your life? Do you see God doing something new in your life? Because this is a message to each one of us individually and collectively. God is doing a new thing. Do you know what it is? But see, if you don't know, you got to get focused. You got to focus in on God and stop focusing in on you. You're so tired of trying to get that new thing yourself. You're not seeing that new thing that God is doing for you. Some of us going through for a reason. In order to get to. God is doing something in our struggle that's going to produce that new thing. And we're fucking about our struggle. We're focused on the struggle and not on the new thing. I hope y'all hear me. You got to be receptive to change. Be advised, he says in our passage, it's happening fast. And it's no accident. He said it's going to spring forth. That's what he said. Y'all heard it. Said, it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? It's happening fast, but it's no accident. You can't see. You can see the bloom, but you got to understand. When you see the bloom of the flower, I'm preaching this in springtime, you know. And at this time of the year, stuff that was dead starts to live again.
Come on, preacher.
And we don't know what happened during the wintertime. Y'all better go with me on this. We don't know what happened during the wintertime, what type of struggle that tree had to go through during the wintertime. But all we know is come spring, all of a sudden, the leaves come, the buds come, and then the leaves come, and then the flowers come. But we look at the flowers and we don't realize that it's a growth process. It's a plan that God has in place. And some of you are in the growth process. You're going through your winter in life, and you fussing and complaining, not knowing that all this know it's coming for a reason. Not knowing that all this struggle is happening for a reason. Not knowing that all this cold and up and down weather in your life is happening for a reason. God is trying to get you to the bloom in a way that you've never bloomed before. You really fussing about the struggle and what it takes to get to your place. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. Don't miss it by being caught up in what happened then. Don't miss it by getting caught up in yesterday's struggle. Focus on what God is doing in your life right now. Can we surrender to God and just say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I surrender to you. You got to be receptive to change. You've been trying to do this same thing and been doing the same thing, trying to get different results. And you know what that is, right? That's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting different results. You've been doing it yourself for so long, and you don't realize that you haven't yet to become, you haven't produced your outcome just yet, but you still won't give it to God?
My God.
Why not just give it to Him and say, Lord, I'm ready for your new thing.
Yes, sir.
Focus in on Him. And then he said, look here, I like this second part. He said, I'm going to make a way out of no way.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I'm doing a new thing that you can understand. It's unprecedented. You haven't seen it. But here's good news for you. You don't have to worry about making that way yourself. But the second thing I'm doing, I'm making a way out of no way.
Yeah.
I'm making a way out of the Red Sea of your life. I'm making a way out of the wilderness of your life. I'm making a way out of the difficulty of your life. You think that little gush that you saw in the desert out of that rock was something? Wait till you see this big gush that I have in your life. I'm about to do something, and I don't want you to miss it. And here's the thing. The beasts of the field, they see it. The animals, they know it. I mean, folk, they don't even have a cut. They know it. And you? Come on, church. But then he closes with this, and I'm going to come to a close. The people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. I like the way he left that verse for last, because the real summation here is there are two things that need to happen if you're going to show forth God's praise. You've got to forget and focus. If you're going to really praise God, you don't need a cheerleader.
That's right.
You got to forget and focus. You got to focus in. See, what is praise? Well, I'm glad you asked. Praise is an act of our will that flows out of awe and reverence for our God. Praise gives glory to God and opens us up to a deeper union with Him. Praise turns our attention off of our problems and onto the nature and character of God Himself. Praise allows me not to look at my problem, but to look at the solution. We need to praise God because He is worthy to be. Let me back myself out. 1 Chronicles 16:25. He said, but great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Can I just give you one more? Psalm 156. He said, let everything that has breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes,
when I consider all the good God is doing for us, how He woke us up this morning, started us on our way, put food on our table, clothes on our back, shelter over our head, gave us a reasonable force to help us. I just got to praise Him. I got to forget and to focus. Truth is, I'm like the songwriter. He keeps blessing me over and over again. He opened doors that I could not see. He just keeps blessing me. I'm like another songwriter. On Monday, He gives me peace of mind. Tuesday, He gives me joy in mind. Wednesday, He hears every word I say. Thursday, He's always making a way. Friday and Saturday and Sunday, it's hump day. God is merciful. He could have let me stay there, but He brought me out. Why did He bring me out? Because He's God all by Himself, and He has a plan, and all I got to do is forget and focus. Too many of us allowed our situation and circumstances to cause us to lose sight of what God is doing in our lives. Problems and conditions are caused by. We ask ourselves, why do I have to be thankful? What have He done for me lately? What has God done for me lately? What do I have to be thankful? Well, we've allowed these things in life, this stuff that's going on in the world, to cause us to not focus on the God that we serve. Too many of us debate and question whether God is working in our lives. We're not focused. But we need to focus. We've allowed the fact that God may not come when He wants to. Question whether He's a right now God.
Right now.
If He's on time, we've allowed our pleasantly unsatisfied desires and want to cause us to wonder what God is doing. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What He did then.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'm not going to just do it again, but I'm going to do it greater still. We just got to focus. Well, God is doing a new thing, making a way out of no way, and we are complaining because we don't see his plan. But you say, I have an enemy. But he said, well, thou prepared the table before me in the presence of mine enemy.
Yes, sir.
You say, I have a fight. He said, well, you're more than a conqueror.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, people trying to do evil. He said, well, God is working it out for your good.
Yeah.
You say they have weapons, and they pointed at me. Well, he said, that's all right. No weapon forms your prosper.
Yes,
you say I'm being lied on and talked about. Well, he said, no lie will live forever, and the truth trust the earth will rise again. You say I'm being talked about. He said, well, every tongue shall that rise up against you shall be condemned in the judgment. You said, I've been tried. Well, you haven't been tried in the fire. You said, well, if you God, you, when you do, you're going to come forth to go. You said, I'm experiencing tribulation. He said, well, tribulation work in patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. And hope make it not ashamed. And you know what? And hope creates faith. And faith is what we walk by. So we walk by faith and not by sight. You say, well, I can't see my way. He said, well, just look to the hill.
Yes, sir.
From which coming to help. Now pick up the program. Let's check this out on the program. Well, and on the program here it says, there's 10 Bible promises. You say, I don't know if I can last. He said, you're the head. You said, I'm always lasting. Well, he said, you're the head and you're not the tail.
Yes, sir.
You're above and not beneath. That's what the program said. He said, well, I'm afraid. He said, well, number three, he said, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear.
That's right.
But the power and of a power, sound mind. You say, I can't. But number four, said, I can do all things.
Yes, sir.
You say, I'm lost. But number five said, Jesus, you're a little sheep, and,
yes,
and the voice of the stranger you should not follow. You say, let's go down to number nine. You said, I can't see my way, but God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. He surrendered to favor to as a shield. You're looking at your situation, and you see your situation as bad, but God is working it out. We need to just forget and focus. Forget. And focus. Well, let me tell you about one man I'm going to sit down there that did some forgetting and some focusing. There was a man by the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know he came down 42 generations.
Yes, sir.
He had to forget where he came from because he had to come down here to serve the Lord. But I see him on the cross 33 years later.
Yes, sir.
He's on the cross now.
Yes.
He's got to forget some things because nobody would say, Father, forgive them. But when they know about what they do, if he was thinking about what they had done, he had to let that go. Now, if our Savior could be hung on a cross by evil men and could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, I see some forgetting taking place. But I hear him say, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Well, now, I see a difficult moment there because he's going through some things, taking the weight of the world's sin on his shoulder, and he's done in front of God, why are you forsaking him? But I hear him a little bit later say, now, I believe he got his focus back. You know, when you get real in a difficult time, you kind of lose your focus. And you start to question God. Jesus was questioning God. He said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But then I see him get his focus back because I hear him say, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. Father, it's about him. That's what I got to say. It's about him. I command my spirit. Forget and focus. Focus on it until you get to know him for yourself. If you're here, I extend that invitation. Get to know him. focus on what he has in store for you. Don't let your past hang you up and keep you where you are. The best is yet to come. If you're here, if you're here, yeah. Give him the honor. You here? If you're here today and you're looking for a church home, I extend the invitation to you as well. If you've already been called and serving God and you're looking for a place to serve the Lord, we welcome you here. God asks the church that he sees you. We need you here because the harvest is plenty and the labors are few. If you're here today, we extend that invitation to you as well. Yeah.